Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
All right, all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome again to another edition of the Elders Show. We are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite Nation. I'm Elder Eliah, and also we have Elder Yair with us. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be here this Tuesday in the year of their calendar, September the 7th, 2021. Hallelujah. Another day closer. Our redemption draweth nigh, Israel. Hallelujah. It's an honor to be before Yahuwah's people once again. Hallelujah. We have title for this show. Hallelujah. We're just cutting right to the chase. Title is Do Not Be Afraid of the Demons. Hallelujah. We know it's a lot of demons out there, Elder. Do not be afraid of the demons. We have a foundational scripture taken out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, starting at verse 10, well, verses 10 and 11. We're going to read it out of the KJV. Out of view of mine, I'm going to get a running start. I'm going to start it at verse 8 to give it some context. Hallelujah. It reads as follows. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahuwah, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves. They shall no more serve themselves of him. Okay, I'm going to just read it, paraphrase a little bit. Yahuwah said he will break the enemy's yoke. In other words, our oppressor's yoke from off of our necks, from off Israel's neck. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, but they shall serve Yahuwah, their Eluah, or their mighty one, and King and Dawid, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Just going to paraphrase that a little bit. But Israel will turn back and serve Yahuwah, our Eluah, our mighty one, and Dawid, their king. I'm glad I went back over this because, listen, he's not talking about Dawid, Jesse's son. No, no, no. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the King of Kings. This is a messianic prophecy. He's referring to Yahusha, HaMashiach, the one in whom we have redemption through his blood. Hallelujah. It says, the one whom Dawid referred to in Psalms 110 and 1. What did Dawid say when he was speaking about Yahusha in Psalm 110 and 1? I'm going to read it out of KJV. It says, the Most High said unto my king, the Most High said unto his king, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So that's the Dawid he's talking about. They refer to Yahusha as the son of David. Hallelujah. Remember that even the demon, when Yahusha was approaching, he says, what have I to do with thee, Yahusha, thou son of David? Have thou come to torment us before our time? Hallelujah. So that's the Dawid. That's the King Dawid that the scripture is referring to in verse 9. Hallelujah. He says, but they shall serve Yahuwah, their Eluah, and Dawid, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, now we're back to our two foundational scriptures, verse 10 and 11. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Yaakov, saith Yahuwah, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, hallelujah, and thy seed, thy descendants, from the land of their captivity. And Yaakov shall return and shall be in rest. Listen to this. He shall be in rest. Okay, that's a key to remember. And be quiet. That's another key to remember. I'm going to tell you why. And none shall make him afraid. Remember, when Yah puts us back in the land, remember it says, he shall return and be in rest and be what? Mm-hmm. Quiet. None shall make him afraid, and he shall be at peace, right? Verse 11, for I am with thee, saith Yahuwah, to save thee, though I make a full end all nations which I have scattered thee. Hallelujah. You can look around the whole earth, and you can see what's going on. All of the land that Yahuwah has scattered us to, look what he's doing. They're falling under judgment. It's happening as we speak. Hallelujah. He says, I will make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee. Hallelujah. He says, yet I will not make a full end of thee. Listen to the words carefully. He will not make a full end. See, he said he will make a full end of the nations where that we were scattered into captivity, but he will not make a full end of us. Now, he said full for a reason. Some of us are going to fall. He didn't say everybody is going to be spared. He said he's not going to make a full end. He's not going to completely annihilate us. See, he has elect. You could say a remnant. Hallelujah. That's why I say he's not going to make a full end of us. Some of us are going to fall. Look how many of us ran to, swallowed the Kool-Aid, drunk the Kool-Aid, and ran to every clinic, every hospital, every corner drugstore, wherever we can find it, even the drive-bys, just stuck out their arm, just full of fear. Say, give me the jab. Give me the jab. Give me the jab. I don't want to die. They're putting their life in the hands of their oppressors, the ones that Yahuwah himself says, I'm going to make a full end out of them. But yet, our people have, many of our people have put their very lives in their oppressor's hands. They trust their oppressor over the Most High. That's why he said he's not going to make a full end. Because all of us is not going to drink the Kool-Aid. All of us is not going to fall for that. Many of us are going to hold out to the end and put our trust in the Most High. Because that's he right. says, let Yahuwah's word be true and every man a liar. Curses the man that put his trust in man and make flesh his arm. See? Our people, many of us have made flesh. They had confidence in the flesh, confidence in the so-called science, fleshly science, if that's what you want to call it, science. It's hogwash science. See, science can be manipulated. Science, the same science says that our people were three-fifths of a human being. Yeah, that wasn't some so-called idiots and some bums and, you know, derelicts that made up that statement, that wrote that document into the Constitution. That was their highest and brightest. That was their science of the day, that we are three-fifths of a human being, our ancestors. So you go ahead, our people. Trust their science. Trust your oppressor science. Okay, so we who know the Most High, we know that our help, we look to the hills from which cometh our help. It says our help comes from the Most High. Hallelujah. See, we know our insurance policy. When trouble goes wrong, if you have an accident in your car, well, who do you call? I mean, among others, you know, you're going to get the phone number for the insurance company and this and that. But even of your insurance company, of the person who hit you. But who is going to handle the whole thing? The same people that you've been paying every month, your insurance company. You don't even have to call their insurance company. Your insurance company is supposed to take care of all that and get you a rental car in the meantime so you don't miss a beat. You don't have to take off days from work or wherever else you have to go. Well, we got an insurance policy with the Most High. it follows from Genesis to Revelation. But I tell you what, if you want to encapsulate it all and condense it and put it into one book, just read Psalms 91. That's our insurance policy. But Scripture says, who has believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Most High been revealed? Our people have believed their oppressor's report. So we're going to continue on. It says, therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yahuwah, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed, thy descendants, from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith Yahuwah, to save thee. Though I make a full end out of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee. See, we're not going to go unpunished, and we haven't went unpunished, but I will correct thee in measure, see, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Hallelujah. Now, you know why I wanted you to make a note of where it says in verse 10, when Jacob returned to their land, he shall be in rest, he shall be quiet, he's going to be at peace. Now, just look. Look down a few verses. That same chapter, he talks about how hard our punishment will be, and he talked about how we deserved it. Yes, we deserved it. For instance, in verse 15, he says, why criest thou? He's talking about us, for thine affliction. Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins, look what he's saying. He says, because thy sins were increased. Our sins were increased. So Yahuwah said, it was I that have done these things unto thee. He said that at the end of verse 15. You know, now, doesn't that remind you of when Yahusha, when he was brought before Pontius Pilate, and Pilate says, do you know who I am? Do you know I have the power to give you life and to put you to death? You know what Yahusha said to him? So listen here, heathen. You don't have any power at all over me. He said, it's me that laid my life down. He knew what his mission was. He said if he wanted to, he could call a legion of Malachim down from the throne of heaven and wreak havoc on that city. So he had to tell Pilate, he had to put him in his place. This guy talking about he has the power to set him free. And no, you should say, no, this is way above your pay grade. No, this is what I came the world to do. This is my mission. You don't take my life. I lay it down. And some of these Gentiles thinking that they had the power to come into our dwelling places and snatch us from where we rested our head at. You know, a few little puny men, even though they had guns, they think they had the power to do this. No, it was Yahuwah himself. He called of the increase of our iniquities. It was Yahuwah that said, I'm going to let a nation come from afar. And he said, you will have no might. I mean, if you pit, I don't even want to go too deep on that. I'll just say, look, just paint this picture. Have you ever seen a Gentile try to fight some of our heavyweights? And I'm talking about the great ones. Yeah, Tyson was great. I'm talking about, but you go back in the 70s or so, Muhammad Ali, George Frazier, Foreman, George Foreman, Norton, and all them guys. Man, you couldn't hardly put no Gentile up against them guys. Okay, that just gives you a little bit, you know, frame of reference what we're talking about. So they didn't have no might over us in the natural. That was Yahuwah that gave them the power, the authority to enslave us, to put us in chains and bring us from the shores of West Africa over into what they call the new world. It wasn't new, it was just new to them. Okay, so just like Usha says, prophets probably don't have any power. These Gentiles didn't have any power except what the Most High himself gave them. He says, I did. And he said why he did it. He said, because of the multitude of your iniquity and because of the increase of your sins. And we know that sin is the transgression of Yahuwah's laws and commandments, 1 John 3 and 4. Hallelujah. So now, look what it says when he's talking about it's going to be, when we get back there, it's going to be rest and peace, quiet. Look here. Verse 17, he says, for I will restore health unto thee, talking about us, and I will heal thee of thy wound. See, saith Yahuwah, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. You know, they look at these Negroes here. They say, wait a minute, this is the children of the Most High? This is the apple of his eye? These people, these derelict rejects, these people who are at the bottom of society, yeah. Why couldn't it be the wealthiest, the richest, the mightiest? It's these people? Oh no. And Yahusha is one of them? Oh no. He just says and called us an outcast. This is Zion. The earth looked down on them, whom no man seeketh after. Nobody looks up to. And we ain't talking about that superficial looking up. You know, you hit a base, throw a football, and shoot a ball into the basket and all that stuff. Okay. Singing and dancing in front of people. They're not talking about that. They're talking about you don't have any power in the world. That's entertainment. That's pure entertainment. I know a lot of people love that. We love our entertainers. Matter of fact, it's idolatry, it's witchcraft, because a lot of you idolize. Beyonce and all these. Okay, that's foolishness. We talking about any power in the world, political power, economic power. You have none. You're at the bottom. Even these so-called celebrities or athletes, they're supposed to be rich. They have a spending account, expense account. They can't even buy what they want to buy. Case in point, try to have one of these so-called rich celebrities. Try to have one of them put a few million dollars towards the furtherance of the truth, of who are the true people of Yahuwah, to our ministry or to another group's ministry or something, somebody who's really speaking the truth. Just try to have one of them guys, LeBron James or some movie actor, Denzel Washington, anybody, try to have one of them guys take $10, $20 million they're supposed to have just to blow, right, and put towards them a ministry that's going to further the good news, further the truth of who are Yah's people. It will not be done, it cannot be done. Those people don't have total autonomy over their money. Don't be fooled. Those same celebrities you worship, a lot of you worship them, they are nothing but paid, entertaining puppets. They don't have no power. They don't have power. This guy, I'm sorry, I'm going to wrap it up. This guy, R. Kelly, the singer, this guy, it was quoted in an article. I guess he went to the bank for the first time in his life a couple of years ago, Bank of America or something, and this guy didn't even know how to draw money out of his account. You know, he wanted to buy some food at McDonald's and went to the bank and didn't even know how to draw money. He needed assistance. These people are sad. Okay, so now it says, what's going to happen? It says, thus saith Yahuwah, verse 18, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents. He's going to turn our captivity around, right? And have mercy on his dwelling places. That's the places he scatters. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap. And the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Now listen to this. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make it merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. Okay? And they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime. So he's going to return us to our greatness. And their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them, or all who have oppressed them. And their nobles shall be of themselves. See, our leaders, it's going to be from our tribes. It's not going to be who they appoint. You know, right now, if we have somebody in so-called a position of authority, it's a puppet that they appointed. No, he said their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. Who will say, we're going to govern ourselves, and I will cause him to draw near. We're going to draw near to the Most High, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahuwah? And ye shall be my people, and I shall be your Elohim, or your mighty one. Behold, the whirlwind of Yahuwah goeth forth with fury and continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. Okay? It says, the fierce anger of Yahuwah shall not return until he had done it, and until he had performed the intents of his heart in the latter days. Okay. So, I just want you to know that when his people come, when his people come back into the land, his true people, they are going to be established by Yahuwah. And he says nobody is going to oppress them. Nobody is going to oppress them. That's the difference between what's over there right now and what's going to be there when he brings his people back into the land. You say, well, is peaceful over there now? No, it's not. The Khazarians who are over there, that they call the Ashkenazis, the Khazarians and the Palestinians are fighting in Gaza as we speak. There's no peace there. The Khazarians claim that the Gazans, or the Palestinians, launched, and this is right from the news today, incendiary, that's to deal with explosives or fire, incendiary balloons or firebombs into southern Israel. You hear that? So the Palestinians have launched or are launching, as we speak, firebombs into southern Israel. It's always something going on over there. It's anything but quiet and peaceful over there. Two factions fighting over a piece of land that doesn't belong to any one of them. So when Yahuwah puts the rightful inhabitants back in the land, there will indeed be peace and quiet, and his people will be at rest. That's the difference, Israel. That's the difference. Okay, I just wanted to give a full context. That when Elder gave that scripture today, and when I looked at it, I said, wow, I mean, those two, yes, they sum it up, but it's so much richness in that whole chapter, and to give the full context, because Yahuwah is wrapping things up. He is right now in the midst of punishing, bringing judgment upon the nation that his people were in captivity to. He's bringing judgment on those nations. You can look all over the world. You can look in Europe. Look at all the riots. I mean, the turmoil, the social unrest in the UK, in Germany, in France, Spain. These people are marching in the streets. The government is telling them they have to do this. They have to do it. The government is telling them they have no control over their own bodies. Now, we over here fight for control of our land. Like, hey, I bought this house. I bought this land. Now you're telling me you have to put a telephone utility poles up, and this is not, you know, we're in court fighting about things like that. These people are fighting over the right of their own body. Look at Australia. I mean, all over the world, South America, Argentina, where the man the officials chased the man up on the rooftop of his own house. What happened to the, you're supposed to be sovereign over your own house, your own property. Chased him. You're talking about adding insult to injury. Chased him on top of his own roof. Kept him down, abusing him on his own so-called property. Holding him down while another took the demonic jab, the poisonous jab, and rammed him in the arm. Now, you say, oh, my goodness. Well, listen. No, hey, don't worry us. Don't worry, America. That's coming your way. It's coming your way now. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Like that fake preacher, T.D. Jakes, says, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Yeah, you better get ready, because all of them have sold out to the devil. They're telling their whole flock, believe in the science, line up, just get in line, go down to the clinic, stick your arm out, get the jab, come back, see me Sunday, and pay to your tithes. Oh, the devil is just showing himself. He's not even putting on that cloak. You know, Ku Klux Klan used to wear that hood. He's not putting on a cloak anymore. He's taking off his cloak. He's showing his horns. You know, the old folks used to say he's showing his rear end. He don't care no more. He's saying, hey, this is who I am. Everybody coming out the closet. You know, this is coming out the closet era. But it's coming your way. Don't just look at Australia and say, my goodness, I couldn't live there. Well, just keep living here for a few more weeks or a few more months and see how intolerable it becomes. Well, Elder, I'm going to let you come on up. Thank you for that title and that scripture. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of things to say. More news to cover.
Yeah.
Talking about taking away our rights and what's happening around the globe and what's happening in our own backyard. It's scary what's happening. It's scary if you don't have the Most High. This is a scary time indeed to not have the Most High. I don't know how anybody could just have their mind fixed on going back to normal, as in going back to the ways of the world, going back to pre-2020, when this thing starts, 2020, spring, people pre-2020. I want to go back to pre-2020. How in the world is that the only thing that you're fixated on? When this world isn't, this country, this whole Babylonian system is imploding. And if you are not close to the Most High, you're going to implode right with it, just like a sinkhole. If your car just happened to be on that particular stretch of road, when that sinkhole opens up, you're going right in there. And you people who are, all you are is fixated on getting back to normal, getting back to normal, you are on that road with your vehicle. And when this thing implodes, you're going right down with it. That's why it warns us in Revelation 18, come out from her, and it says why, that you don't partake in her plagues, in her sins. And if you don't partake in her sins, you won't partake in her plagues. But if you partake in her sins, if your mind is on the same thing that the world is on, you are going to partake in her plagues, no matter. You could be black as a newly paved street. It won't be one bit. See, because this thing is about the heart. It says, the Most High know those who are his. Telling you, Israel, it's time to stop playing. All right, Elder, come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah, Elder. Hallelujah. Yeah, we got so much that is going on now. We can't miss it. We can't not understand because of what we see the devil is doing. We got to be wise today, really wise, and able to discern what is going on, because he has declared war against the people of Yahuwah. Satan himself has already done that. And we got to stand up to him. We got to stand with Yahweh. And we got to say no to Satan, resist the devil. That's what the scripture tells us. You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that's one thing we need to remember. Do not fall into their lies and their trickery, because he wants to trick you. One of the main things Satan wants to do now is to mark you, get you marked with this plague that he has brought upon the earth. Because we're getting a lot of people to submit to his mark. And that's been the big problem. Like, I got a friend of mine over here. I mean, she's a Hebrew Israelite sister, and it really hurts to see her suffering the way she is suffering now. And it's because of this plague, this vaccine, that they are out there forcing people to take, you know, trying to force anybody that they could. But it's still amazing that if you resist him, he cannot even harm you. He has to flee. He has to flee from you. That's why we can't be afraid of these threats that's coming from these politicians' mouths, even the president, Joe Biden. You know, he's not as weak as he looks. I mean, to me, he looked like he's already has been struck with the strike of the devil, strike of death. He already looks like that. You know? Every time I see him, I can't stand to look at him, because I know I'm looking at something that is completely sold out to Satan. He's evil, and he wants you to think he's got power and all of that stuff, but he apparently don't have very much because of what he had just allowed to take place, especially over there in Afghanistan. You know, he hasn't been able to squash any of those things that are going on over there, and it's because of how he has handled situations. The reason people are going through the changes that they are going through with him over there in Afghanistan. So we just got to look, see things like that, and we got to know that Yah is in control of this world. He is in control of all of these things that we see, that man thinks he has power to still do, think he can still bluff you, scare you, and cause you to be all frail and afraid of his bluffs. But like we said, we know that ain't nothing but the power of the air, wind and air, because he ain't got no power. He doesn't have what he wants to have. He wants to be able to do things that he would love to, but I see his power is weakened. He's been weakened. So that's the power of Prince and the power of the air. That's what he is. You know, his stuff is being exposed as we speak. You know, he is being exposed. All of these things that he wants to puff out of his face, make it seem like he could do so much, when all the time scripture tells us to sit back and just resist him. Resist that evil. And he has to flee. He can't do nothing but flee. He has to leave you alone. That's why we entitled this program, Do Not Be Afraid of the Demons. Okay? Because Yah is in control of us. He has control. And Satan knows ain't nothing he can do that Yah does not allow. But he may as well cool out. We just got to resist him. Resist him in the name of Yahuwah, and we'll be okay, you know. We will be all right, I think. Because as I see it, when I see people out there letting themselves submit to that shot, that jab, you know, it's scary. It's scary because it's a bluff. That's why I know it's just one of his bluffs, because it's real. They can kill you with this virus that they're putting out there in the world, in amongst the people, jabbing it in. And that's their goal, is to try to kill you, destroy the children of Israel. But we don't have to go down like that. We don't have to let this demon frighten us to the point where we be so afraid of him. We're going to give in to whatever he wants to. You know, I've already said in my heart, I seem like I have let myself visualize some battles that I may have to go through with government. They didn't want to declare war against us, the children of Israel. And so we're going to have to probably be like we were back during the time of Moses, when people coming out of Egypt and so forth. Some of us got to take that stand and resist the devil. Resist him with whatever we have, whatever force we have. You may have to utilize it. Don't be afraid, because you might think just because he's got more weaponry, he's got these different type of weapons that he's been using and that he is using out there on the people, you may think that you ain't, there's no help for you, hope for you. But let me tell you something. When you got Yahuwah on your side, you don't have to worry about any frailty that you might seem to have. You don't have to worry about that, because y'all can just look at the demon, and the demon will have to go. He has to go to hell, wherever command him to go, you see. So we don't have to worry about that. And we have Yah on our side, and we got to be strong enough to stand up. Don't give in. Stand. You've done all that you could do to stand. Stand anyhow, okay? No matter what, still stand, because, you know, we have the power on our side. Yahuwah is on our side. As long as we have that power, we don't have to be afraid of these demons kicking around out here. Because I want to play something that I was amazed to understand, to know about even us, our own people, things that they will not allow information to ever be shown into the school system or be taught in their school system about who we are and the things that they know about us that we don't know about ourselves. But this is a black man here that has researched this, and we just happened to be looking at him, listening to him. And I want to kind of share some of his information that he has already researched out there, and he would be glad to share this with us so that we can have a better understanding even of us, ourselves, our makeup, you see, because of the the name of his program is Hidden DNA Discovery, only found in Black American people. This is very interesting, very interesting. This is a black guy here that did this research, and he knows what he's talking about. I can tell he got it down pretty good. So let's go ahead and listen to what he has to say. All right, I'm going to play this right now. Just hold on for 1 second. Satan is always trying to attack us when we want to share some good information that's very important to us. Because you're going to see as we go down with this, you see what these Gentiles have done. They have made their own hero. They have taken this woman. If you know anything about Wonder Woman, yes, you know, got out there. What this America has done, put her out there in front of the world, make it seem like she's the big hero. And when you see where she come from, what her whole program is based on, straight from the Hebrew Israelite women, kings, queens, I mean, you see? I don't know, some of you all may have already heard this, understood what she's all about, but it was amazing. It's amazing just to realize and see how these Gentiles, they have stolen from us from the day that we've been here in this on this planet, especially over here in this Babylon. They have stole from us, lied on us, and so they're being exposed now. Things are starting to come to light. I remember my mom told me a long time ago when I was a kid, she even said, it shall be light in the evening time. That was one thing I remember her sharing that with us when we were just kids, you know. She said, it will be light in the evening time. So a lot of this stuff that these demons has been hiding, lying on us and so forth, it starts to come to light. That's why I just pray that I could get this. Yeah, because this is very important. I want to make sure we can get it out here.
Called the mark of oppression.
Okay.
And this mark, these two publishers, Cardiner and Overseer, said that they could not understand how is it that a group of people, African Americans, have been bludgeoned over their heads mentally and spiritually for hundreds of years and are still surviving. They couldn't understand it. And they said so in their book. The answer came out in 1996. Why it is that not only have African Americans survived the worst mental and spiritual bludgeoning of any people in recorded history, but they are becoming champions of everything in which there is a level playing field. No matter what it is, we predominate in every field. This is why they won't teach our children African history, because they know that once our children get on the same level playing field as their white counterparts, that they will dominate just like we dominate in basketball, baseball, football, track and field, and anything else in which there is a level playing field. So that while they teach their children about the greatness of their European ancestors, they will teach our children about the greatness of their African ancestors, because then that would be a level playing field in academia. And they know that we will predominate just like all of these examples we've given them, that our children predominate when they know who they are from the African historical point of view. Now, here's what they found out in 1996. A group of geneticists wrote this book. Geneticists.
Can you identify how it came about?
Yes, okay. All right, sure. Yes, indeed. And there, an organization is called the American Association for the Advancement of Science. The American Association for the Advancement of Science. And this organization is composed of people who study about DNA and the genome. And you've been reading about the DNA and the genome. Well, this group of scientists came upon an idea by accident at first, that different groups of people had different numbers of DNA series. Now, a DNA series means that when your DNA is located, and say they get a hair from your head and they subject it to certain tests, this is the DNA of Minister Brown, and yours is different from everybody else in the world. All right? Then they found further that not only are their DNA series different, but the number of DNAs in there are different in different groups. Whites have a different number of DNA, and blacks have a different number of DNA series. Apes have a different number of DNA series. Then they found this amazing thing, that the greater the number of DNA series, the smaller the person, the group is, the greater the probability of genius within that group. So they tested the orangutans, these 15 geneticists from around the world. Now, these geneticists came from 9 different universities. And we have here on the cover of the pamphlet they put out.
I think everyone should have a care team like the team I have at Barcelona. This is what healthcare should be. I remember climbing the stairs of the subway once.
The names of these geneticists. And you can see them right there, right beneath. Right beneath the title of this pamphlet. And this pamphlet, most people have no idea what it means. But breaking it down, and after you study it, and have it explained to you by a geneticist, a trained geneticist, you will find that you're talking about DNA series. And here are the names of these 15 geneticists from around the University of Japan, University of China, Yale University is the headquarters of this organization called the American Association for the Advancement of Science. You see it down there. Now this was copyrighted in 1996. Now, what it said is this. This is the mind-blowing part. It says that when they tested the orangutan, they found out he only had 3 DNA series. They tested the gorilla. They found that the gorilla had 4 DNA series. He's a little smarter than the orangutan. They tested the chimpanzee, which is an ape, and found that he had 5 DNA series. Then they went all into the different races of the world. They went into Europe and tested the DNA series of the English, the French, the German, the Spanish, the Russians, and some they had 6 DNA series. Then they put all of this, what they found, around the world on a map. And this map really is called the intelligence map of the world because they tested 116 different human groups and found their DNA series number. All of them, all over the world, had 6. And they put the number in form of a little flag that you can see on this map. These little flags have a color. And they show how this is upside down. And they show that the English have only 6, and all into Europe, only 6, went over into Japan and China, they only have 6. Over into America, which is predominantly European, they only have 6. Then they came to Africa, and they came to the part of Africa. And all the rest of them, they put in little flag colors. The flag colors are orange, red, and when they came to Africa, found out that the Africans have 9 DNA series. From here just below the Samhain Empire down to the foot of that. All those 10 nations of which African Americans descend from one of them. We have 9 DNA series. The greatest possibility of genius. Now it answers this age-old question. How can a people survive being told they're nothing for 400 years? Never allowed to learn that they came from beautiful cities And though they came from a jungle, how could people survive? How can people become champions if everything they touch? Because they have none. Many of these cities, and the rest of the world has only six. This is why they copyrighted this. And that's how this map is taken. I took this map right from this page here. And I blew it up so that the world could see. Even though this is copyrighted, I can't let you have this book because it's copyrighted. The title of the book is called Global Patterns of Linkage, Disequilibrium at the CD4 Locus and Modern Human Origins. Global Patterns of Linking, Disequilibrium, at the CD4 Locus and Modern Human Origins. And you have to be a geneticist to even know what that stuff, what they're talking about. But when we've broken down and interviewed Dr. Kidd, the head, he's the chairman at Yale University, we broke it down into plain everyday English so that the world would know that the African American descended from those people who gave to the world the Great Pyramid, gave to the world science, gave to the world mathematics. A black man in Arnold's gave algebra to the world 3,700 years ago. It's in the world book, it's in the encyclopedia. They don't want our children to know this, because then that would make their level, the playing field level for white children. And you know what happened when they made the playing field level in basketball and allowed black men to play. Out of 29 of the top seeded players in the world today, 28 are African Americans. When they opened up the 10 relay, when they opened up the Olympics and allowed blacks to run back in 1932, we went, yeah, all the gold. And the same thing happened in the classroom when they allowed our children to learn their African history. That's what this is saying.
Dr. Ross, are you saying that the African American also has national strength?
I am saying that we are descended from the West Africans who have nine DNA series on this map. That these geneticists, you see the green down here? Well, that's where we're from. That's where African Americans are from.
They tested
Americans as a group, whites. And they have six. They didn't test African Americans, because they know that we are the same people in West, from West Africa.
How is it that you think that this evolved, that we evolved to nine strengths?
Well, it tells you in here. This book tells why. Preemie babies leave their mother's womb early, too early, never develop to the same height that baby that runs full term. White folks in the time, all mankind arose in Africa. All mankind arose in this part of Africa, right here. It's called the womb of Africa. That's the womb of Africa over here. Right there. No. Kenya. Yes, that era. All mankind arose there. The great granddaddy of white folks, great granddaddy of Chinese, great granddaddy of Japanese, that great granddaddy, all of them looked the same. All looked like apes. That was called Australopithecus. I don't know how technically what we did. Australopithecus was a granddaddy, great, great granddaddy of all races. Now, they left the womb 800,000 years ago. Whites left the womb and went, wandered up into Europe, but the Chinese wandered over into Asia. And they left the womb before they were fully developed. That's why they did not develop melanin like me. Those of us who stayed developed full term. They never developed the melanin-stimulating hormone. This is why, we're the only race on the planet that does not have headlights. And I have headlights, they're a little bulb. We're the only race on the planet because we developed food. We lost our straight hair, that adenoid, over 150,000 years ago. You see, all other races have headlights because they never developed fully. Melanin is this magical chemical that is developed on the fifth layer of the epidermis of the skin. Now, we've been brainwashed to believe that the less melanin you have, the prettier you are, because that's the brainwash. That's like saying a naked person is prettier than a person with beautiful clothes. You get what I'm trying to say, the scenario, yeah. Melanin heals. When you cut yourself, the melanin rushes to the surface of the skin and forms a scab. What color is that scab? And they look up, brown, dark brown. That's the melanin coming up to heal you. This is why we do not get skin cancer. Because of the melanin. The only place where we can't get skin cancer is living in any part of the day because it's calm land in the fingers. And I don't get bleeding because I head up to the sun to get skin cancer. Okay, so that's for this video. Give it to that time.
All right. Hallelujah for that information there. Hopefully that you all are getting something out of it. I think that's important for us, very important for us to know when it comes down to us, who we are, and then what we are, how we are developed, and so forth, okay? Very important. So that's why we thought we would share this information tonight with you all. And if you want to find it, you can go on, let's see. Go on the website here and go to
just put in the title.
Yeah, the title of it, the whole program is Hidden DNA Discovery Only Found in Black African People. Okay? Put that in and you this information that we're talking about here will be brought up. And you can do a further study on it. It's very important to know these things. All right. So hallelujah. So that's a good little bit of information I thought would be important for all of us to listen to, especially those that are following this program here. Okay. All right. So that kind of could be something that could whet your appetite a little bit and get you a little, little thoughts, some things put into your head so that you can perhaps maybe get the opportunity, the first chance you get to try to take it further and move a little further into this game. And that way you can study, because the more you know, and more educated to become on these kind of things, is more powerful that you will be. Okay? So hallelujah. Okay.
Okay. All right, Elder, are you still there? Elder Eliah? Okay, all right. Seems like we kind of left him behind a little bit. Anyway, hallelujah, hallelujah. But we're going to move on a little further if we can. We're going to keep going because we see the more we dive into this, the more we speak, study into this, the more information we come up with. Because we got a couple other clips I want to share, and it just talks about sort of things that how people have gone through, and you get a chance to see some other things that has been about our people, and we just, it's being exposed now. Like I said, that's the key. You know, these things are being exposed now. Okay, because this is another title, another program we looked at. I think it's funny. It's very serious, though. African Queens Who Fought Slave Traders. Okay? You want to look at that. Look at a little bit into that so that we can get an idea of what took place.
Hey, Elder, can you hear me?
Yeah, Elder, I do.
Okay, thanks. I was trying the new system, but I'm back online now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. All right. Well, did you get a chance to hear the program I just played?
Oh, yeah, yes. I heard it. I was I heard it through the new system, but I guess I can't transmit right now. We'll work the kinks out of it by next week.
Okay, good. All right. Well, what did you think about it?
It was very interesting. Kind of things that we kind of know through the years, you know, the African DNA and particularly West African. I'm not saying not all Africans, but, you know, we were picked up, our people were picked up off the coast of West Africa. So that's where the emphasis mm-hmm. was made. And if you look at the people who was picked up from West Africa, he made some illustrations. You could do the sports, the baseball, basketball, football, field, everything. There's no comparison. I was speaking of boxing earlier on the program. You couldn't throw a Gentile in there back in the 70s with Ali and Frazier and Holmes and Foreman and Norton and all of those guys, it would have been a massacre, you know. I think they did throw a few Gentiles in there, and it was a massacre. I remember this guy named Jerry Quarry. I don't know if you followed boxing, Elder, back then. For some reason, he kept popping up, getting in the ring with these guys. And I mean, I was a little kid. I mean, even I was put my hand over my eyes. It was brutal. It was brutal, man. Mm-hmm. But I guess he wanted the money. Mm-hmm. He must want the money. He went through all that punishment, you know. So, yeah, it was. You could tell the difference in the genetics. And people think it's just sports. It's not only sports. Like he said, if they were allowed to be on an equal playing field, they would even mm-hmm. surpass the Gentiles academically and in all fields of science and all the other disciplines. So, mm-hmm. it's not just – matter of fact, I wish our people just didn't go to the entertainment part of it so much myself. But, you know, I mean, I know a lot of us do it for the money. But if you look mm-hmm. at the history of it, where all this entertainment started, it was because they looked down upon our people. It was like buffoonery. Pretty much they were saying, this is all you can do for us, is to make us laugh, make us feel good, you know. But the good news is all of those things are coming to an end. We read the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's making a full end of those nations
mm-hmm.
who we were brought into captivity from. And he says, and I'm going to do something with you guys, too. I'm not going to leave you unpunished, but he said, I'm just not going to make a full end of you. He's going to make an end of some of us, though. Mm-hmm. He said, but I'm not going to make a full mm-hmm. end. You know, hallelujah.
That's right.
So, yeah, you can continue on, Elder, with the clips. I wrote down the notes. We have some time. I was just going to speak mm-hmm. on the nations, at least the ones they listed, the nations that mm-hmm. have already gone to what they call compulsory vaccination. That means force. It's already up to 15 right now. I was going to read off those nations, and we go over some of that information. But we'll do that a little later. You can go ahead and play the clips that you have.
Okay. Yeah, I want to look at one here. It's very interesting also. It's about 10 minutes, I believe, on this one. If everybody just hold up and listen to what these young ladies here has to share with us, because I think this is very important, because it's dealing with us, especially the way they have cut us down and lied on us so much, until we just amazed to realize some of these things, how they did it, and see who we really are, not what they have lied about us and so forth. So we're going to go ahead on. Get started with this one here. Africa, queens who fought slave traders. Okay?
I'm really excited to do this video. I'm happy for you that every woman should know, especially black women. These are some of my favorites because I just fell in love with their stories. Like, they were some OG. We're taught everything in school, right? We learn about King Henry VIII and Alexander the Great and all these people, Queen Elizabeth. We learn about all these worlds from different countries and the wars and fought, but we don't learn that about Africa. When there was the African queen who fought against Rome for years, the African queen that fought against Portugal for years, and we never knew nothing. Didn't tell us nothing about these women. It's really important to stop talking out there to inform and empower, you know. So let's get into it. Okay, so first Queen Zinga. She was born in 1583, and when she was born, she had an umbilical cord wrapped around her neck. So a lot of people say she was born a fighter because they almost killed her, but she fought her way through and she survived. She was a G from the jump, you know. So when she was conceived, it was outside of her father's marriage. So basically, her mom was like society. She was like a side chick, but this is not anything. He still highly favored her and recognized her as his daughter, allowed her to sit in and watch him rule his kingdom and learn from him. He really praised her as a warrior. She was exceptional, and he wanted her around all the time. So she became known for her epic battles and for being a great ambassador that was able to like navigate politics and sway things in her favor. So not only was she a beast on the field, but she had brains. So Queen Zinga gets to grow with her brother, and her brother's son passed away. And this was some years in between all this conflicting information on how they died, but once they died, she took the throne. So she was born during the time of the Atlantic slave trade, and during the time where Portugal was trying to come in and colonize. But she was not having it. But of course, that there's a meeting that Queen Zinga had with the Portuguese governor that when she came in, and this was all just a peace treaty, right? So when she came in, he gave a format for her to sit on while he was sitting on a chair. So she was looking like, what is this? This is for subordinates, you know, and my kingdom subordinates sit on this. Where's my chair? He didn't have a chair for her. I know she was thinking, this dude really trying to try me. So she had one of her servants get on the ground, and she sat on her servant's back to negotiate during the meeting. And I don't know if there's the whole servant thing. That's a bit much, you know, you sit on somebody's back. But she did it so she would undermine her authority and undermine her kingdom and her people. And it said that the delegates were stunned at her self-assurance, her confidence, that she would not be swayed. She was also quoted as saying, Europeans, you don't know what's good. I read that. I was like, yes, girl. Yes, girl, you don't know what's good. You don't know what's good for me, for my people, for my city. You can't come over here telling me what to do. If they know I'm right, you're sitting on, they're going to come in and completely get what they wanted. He never did what they wanted, and they left with equal terms. But like most other colonizers, they did not stick to the agreement. They just stick to the treaty. So she fought them tirelessly, y'all. She fought them well into her 60s. She was a senior citizen out here in these streets. streets, right? Portuguese. She was a bad chick. She was powerful. She was smart. And she wasn't dead. She was not running. And she was not going to allow her people to run and just allow them to enslave them. So basically, as long as she was alive, the Portuguese was never able to gain a stronghold on them. So yeah, given all the Queen Zena, this strength, that we have to win up in here. So I'm going to go to my favorite queen.
Okay, Zena.
So I'm going to go to my favorite queen.
It is said that the legend of her persona became the model for the fictional television series Zena, Warrior Princess. Okay? That's where it came from. That's where she come. This was the queen. That's where that television series Zena, Warrior Princess, come from. You see? And of course, when you see it on television, you don't see nobody black. You see a white woman sitting up there, all being all supposed to be so tough and all that stuff. You know? When actually the real warrior was a black woman. You see? See what they do to how they tell these stories, how they, you know, get around telling the truth. They won't tell the truth about us, our people, and so forth. They stick somebody white up there so that can't nobody do nothing. They make try to want you to think that can't nobody do these kind of acts unless you're white. But that's just a bunch of lies. That's where they do it. That's what they do here in this country. So let's see. The real Zena was a black woman, had all of those powers. She was able to perform all of those warring acts and so forth. That's how tough she was. But we're gonna go on with this other one. We got something that's come up.
So before we get to my favorite queen, Queen Alana Venus, I want to show y'all a rare rainbow queen. Big five. If you want more things about the product that I use, go to. So now let's talk about Queen Alana Venus. She was the second queen of Kush. So this was a region from a southern Egypt to Sudan. So she was able to work on that. And her range was from 40 BC to 10 BC. So Rome was trying to come to Egypt, tell people what to do, trying to take over. They're trying to attack the Nubians. And Queen was like, no, we're not about to do that. You're not about to come to my area and tell my people what to do. She wanted peace. She just wanted her land. But, you know, Rome, the conquer mentality, they wanted her land. So what she did, she chopped off a statue of a leopard's head. And she thousands of women everywhere, I think, serious hair growth in just 30 days. She was petty with no purpose. I'm going to show you, like, you want to be petty and put a statue here? I'm going to chop the head off. Did every sign of disrespect. You disrespecting me? And so like, I'm nobody, then I'm gonna disrespect you too. Okay, so the Kushite ambassadors also brought a message to Rome, right? So they presented a beautiful bundle of golden arrows. So they said this is from the queen. They said you want peace, they said these arrows and a token of warmth and friendship. But if you want war, keep them because you wanna need them. She sent this to the most powerful military. You know, these arrows when I offer that head. She was basically like, you know, if you want some smoke, I'll bring the smoke. So Queen Alana Venus, she actually went to war and she captured three of Rome's cities. Now, mind you, Rome has the biggest military in the world. Like, Like, I'm sure y'all have heard about the Roman military and soldiers. It was huge. But with her smaller arms, she still managed to capture three CBL gangsters. And she landed on the front. Like, when she went to war, like, when she went to battle, she was in the front right. She wasn't in the back on the horse, chilling while everybody else was fighting. I know y'all seen it in movies, like the captains and generals would be on the hill somewhere looking down at people fighting. No, she was fighting with her people. Okay, so according to last Roman records, this is all undocumented with their records, that she was injured during battle. She was actually blinded in one eye. And even after this, she healed and she was back on that field. She was back getting boxed up here. Because the Roman army was so big, they were able to gain everything back. They were enslaving people. They were just going to him on kush. And the queen was like, hold up, I'm not going to get into this. We're going to fight. And they fought for like 3 long years. Yes, 3 years. This huge army is fighting this smaller army for 3 years, led by this beautiful African queen. Like, y'all. The Romans must have just felt like defeat was near, because, like, why would they just give in after 3 years? They had this great army. And the thing is, the pictures report what happened too, but it's hard to be coded and translated. You know how history goes, like, the Romans aren't going to tell the full story of everything that happened. They're not going to make themselves weak or bad in any way. So I really wanted to hear their perspective. So, you know, the Romans made sure they said, okay, we need blood around what happened.
Look more gangster
to me
because
she healed and she was still fighting.
Y'all can't. Absolutely. Hallelujah. I'll tell you. So that's something that, you know, black people can look back on and ignore these lies that have been out there spread all over the globe about the Hebrew people, especially the Hebrew African Americans, you know. They've had all kinds of lies spread it and told about them. And so this gives you a different perspective, this information here, concerning our ancestors, who they were and how they fought and how they survived the things that they went through. You see, these were some strong people. They were no weak people. In fact, we were the strongest human beings out there on earth. Got all those genes, patterns, and nobody else on earth had them like we did. And so it's still that way today. You know, we just got to recognize it and I guess take the advantage of it. You know, ain't no use of us just sitting back letting other people dictate to us as to who we are, what we are, what we're capable of doing, and so forth. Because that ain't nothing but a bunch of hogwash, a bunch of lies that we don't have to take. So, there it is. That's who we are. That's just an example of us, you know. And again, if we come down to some real war games, I think the African Americans can rise to the top, rise just like they did before. I think they can be brought right on up. They could, you know, you don't have to just be, you don't have to just give up and be just something somebody else wants you to be just because they got their hatred against you and want to lie and talk about you and so forth, spread lies all over the planet, all that stuff. We're just who we are. So that's what I'm talking about. That's how it is, okay? So as long as we know that we are great people, that we're not no weak links out there, weak thing, something that anybody can run over, then we have the opportunity to just stand. That's why in the face of this COVID stuff, we don't have to give up and let these people try to put that poison in our system. All we got to do is stand up, fight against the devil. He'd have to leave. He'd have to flee. He don't have no other choice because we know we have the power on our side. And if we don't be afraid, just don't just stand out there and don't allow ourselves to give in and run for no reason. We don't have to. I know that. I see that. Anytime you stand, ever since I came up, I've always noticed every time I was in any kind of conflict with anybody, didn't matter what people it was, anytime I stood up, I stood my grounds. I didn't have to worry. The other side backed down, moved out the way. You just have to stand up for yourself, stand up, be who you are. Just stand. And that devil will recognize your strength. And he will have to leave you. He'd have to go. That's why I say right here in this country here, you know, we don't have to be afraid of anybody here. These Gentiles, they're not that bad. They're not that tough. All we got to do is stand up to them, stand for what is right, what is true, and they don't have no other choice but to have to leave. Get out of our way. Okay? So that's us. That's just the way it is. But we got to be strong. Strong too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So with that being said, you know, we can take a look at the people. Look at what Yahuwah has to say about his people to us, what he has to say to us. We just have to listen. See, I think you read some of this earlier, Elder, when I look in Jeremiah, and I look in the 30th chapter, especially when I look down in verses, let me look at verse 8 in chapter 30 of Jeremiah. We'll start.
Mm-hmm.
Read a little bit of some of the stuff. Like I said, you have already spoke some of this earlier. But it says,
no.
It shall be in that day. Yeah, it shall be in that day, declares Yahuwah of hosts, that I break his yoke from your neck and tear off your bonds, and foreigners no more enslave them. See, that's the promise there. No more for the foreigners to think they can have the right to enslave us. That doesn't have to happen. Okay? And they shall serve Yahuwah, their Allah, and Dawid, their sovereigns, whom I raise up for them. Okay? Hallelujah. And you do not fear, O Yaakov, my servant, declares Yahuwah, nor be discouraged, O Israel. For look, I am saving you from afar and your seed from the land of their captivity. Their captivity. Hallelujah. And Yaakov shall return and have rest and be at ease with no one to trouble him. Hallelujah. No one to trouble Yaakov. Hallelujah. And for I am with you, declares Yahuwah, to save you, though I make a complete end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I do not make a complete end of you, but I shall reprove you in judgment and by no means leave you unpunished. See, that's understandable there. You know, any mature person can see that you don't leave a child out there just a wild man unpunished. You got to rebuke him from his evil way in order to get him on the right track. So hallelujah. For thus said Yahuwah, your breach is incurable, your wound is grievous. No one pleads your cause to bind up. There are no healing medicines for you. All those loving you have forgotten you. They do not seek you, for I struck you as an enemy strikes with cruel chastisement. because your crookedness is great. Is great. Okay? Your sins have increased. That's the problem we have had. We got to get rid of this sin. That's it. We got to turn back to Yah. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways,
that's
I will
right.
heal their land. Okay? See, he said, I will heal their land. You got to be ready to turn from your sins, your wicked ways. And Yahuwah will hear from heaven, the heavens for you, on your behalf. Why do you cry about your breach? Your pain is incurable because of your many crookednesses. Because your sins have increased, I have done this to you. See, he lays it all out here. We walk around, and we can't keep walking around with our head held down, talking about wondering why things are so terrible. This is happening to me. Because he lays it out. Your sins is what's bringing this on. You bringing this on yourself. All
mm-hmm.
those who devour you shall be devoured. And all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and those who exploit you shall be exploited, and all who prey upon you, I shall make a prey. You see? So hallelujah. Hallelujah. All we got to do
hallelujah.
Is learn from our sins, you see? And Yahuwah will turn back to us. For I restore health to you, and heal you of your wounds, declares Yahuwah, for they have called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion. No one is seeking her. Thus said Yahuwah, see, I turn back the captivity of Jacob, hence, and have compassion on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon his own mound, and the palace shall stand on its right place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And out of them shall arise thanksgiving, and the voice of those who are laughing, and I shall increase them, and they shall not diminish. And I shall esteem them, and they shall not be small. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm talking about. We got to trust Yah. We can't be falling out here getting scared because of this coronavirus thing. You know, we can't do it. We're too strong for that. You know, he already promised us. No plague shall even come near your dwelling place. You got
That's
to
right.
be willing to follow him. Be obedient to Yahuwah. Okay? And he showed you his love. And there will be no one to stand before you because you have his love upon you. And therefore, I think the world is starting to recognize some of these things going on now because of the way things are happening. These curses, these plagues, these curses that has already started out there among the nations, they see that, they see themselves not prospering like they used to. They see things that the table have changed, I think, have turned on them, and ain't nothing they could do, you know. I saw a situation where this past Hurricane Ida had went through. And I couldn't believe the devastation that storm did to these people. I mean, it was terrible. It was terrible. I mean, one family there, they were just left without nothing. I thought about that. I looked at that and I said, well, I wonder how did they feel about us when things didn't go so pleasant with us under the curses that we were under, you know?
said to myself, I just wonder what's going on here, you know? But I have to just keep praising Yah, keep thanking Him, because whatever He does, He does it. And He done already warned us about it. And when we see these things come to pass, we can't go crying and getting like little children or something, scared and crying, carrying on. We have to thank Yah that He has protected us through this devastation. Just keep thanking Yah, blessing Him, and He will hold our hands through this jump, through all of this stuff. So hallelujah, hallelujah. Just want to bring it out so that we can remember that we don't have to be feeling sorry for somebody that has had no sorrow feeling for us, no compassion for us, children of Israel. I mean, the things that is written about what they've done to us, we can see it. It's there, right there in the book. I was just reading some of Isaiah, I believe, chapter 47. Shoot, these people didn't care nothing about the Hebrew Israelites, especially when they set our babies out there and used our babies for alligator bait. Stuff like that, you know? That's something you have to remember. What these people have done to us, you know, and y'all don't forget. You don't forget. So we cannot forget either. We just gotta keep praying to y'all, keep calling on Him for our own protection. That's what I'm talking about. So you can read a little bit if you want to, and out of there. Now, yeah, Isaiah chapter 47, he tells us right here, he said, come down and spit in the dust, O maiden, daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the cast down. For no more do they call you tender and delicate. Take the millstone, grind flour, remove your veil, lift up the skirt and uncover the leg. Pass through rivers. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. Let your nakedness be uncovered. Let your shame also be exposed. I take vengeance and meet no man. Hallelujah. Our Redeemer, Yahuwah of hosts, is His name, the set apart one of Israel. Sit silent and go into darkness, O daughter of the Caspian, for no more do they call you mistress of rains. I was wrong. No, I was rough with my people. I have profaned my inheritance. I gave them, He told us, I gave them into your hand. And you showed them no compassion. You made your yoke very heavy on the elderly. And you said, I am mistress forever, so that you did not take these matters to heart and did not remember the latter end of them. You see? That's what I'm talking about. People didn't even think about what could happen to them in this time, in the end. You know, these are things should have been taught to their children, that this is what Yahuwah has said is going to take place. But no, these idiots, they got crazy and joined this Babylonian system, and they have became the Babylonian system themselves. And boy, they have stuck out their arms to take the Babylonian mark, their jab, and now they're ready to turn on you just because you haven't taken it. You're unvaccinated. They want to blame everything on those of us who have not been vaccinated with their poison. It's our fault. That's why, I guess that's why Ida and all these hurricanes that come through now, they're blaming that on us, the unvaccinated. It's our fault. That's what they want to say. You see? And Yahuwah is showing them, he's telling them whose fault. You committed your sins long time, way before this day got here. You'd already committed your sin and you refused to repent. Now all these troubles are coming upon you, and boy, you walking around starting to cry and act like a woman that's pregnant, that's having a baby or something. That's how you act. So that's what we're looking at. That's what we see, these curses coming upon them. Things have changed, turned around. They have turned around on the people who've been in this country prospering all these years, these 400 years especially. And boy, they didn't care nothing about the Hebrews that were suffering. Oh, they used everything. They used witchcraft and everything, spells and everything, potent spells and all against us. But now we see what is going on. All right. Okay. I'm going to let you take it, Elder. I'll let you go ahead. And I know you have more stuff you want to bring. So let me let you go ahead and take over. So I know you want to definitely bring out some points. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Hallelujah, Elder. I don't have much left for this night. I want to get into maybe this will have to be brought over into maybe Yah willing next week to talk more about. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about further division. Right now, we just see the division of the vaxxed against the unvaxxed. You're looking at countries that have mandatory vaccinations, they call it compulsory vaccination. You're seeing a big schism between the vax and the unvax. Well, that's going to further divide. Elder, just like Yahuwah gave us a prophetic word to show before time what's going to be happening months ago about how the vax are going to be, the vax are going to go at the unvax, how society is going to be split. There's going to be another split, and I'm not going to get into that this week. Like I said, if y'all willing, we'll talk about it a little bit more next week. But there's a group that's not going to change. There's one group that's going to remain constant, and that's the group that's listed in Psalms 91 that it says Yahuwah promised that this plague will not come nigh you. It's not going to come nigh his people. And while I want more time with it, because I have to further explain, I don't want any misunderstanding. It's not saying that people who've already had this virus, whatever it is, and got over it, praise the Most High, it's not saying that they're not Yah's people. We're not saying that at all. Some have, are Yah's people. Some have repented and got stronger for it. But there is a group that's not going to experience this. See, the world and the liars, the propagandists that's on the airways, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. The ones who control the airways, they want to act like everybody's going to get it. That's a lie right from the pit of hell. Everybody is not going to get this vax. There are a group of people that will not get this vax. It will not come nigh them. We're talking about to the very end. Yah has a people that this will not touch. Okay? And they're going to be persecuted highly. I'm not saying they're going to fall to their death. Maybe some will, but they're going to be persecuted highly. But Yahuwah has made them great promises, and the majority are going to experience these great promises. So, but we want to get into that next week. For the little time we have next, Elder, I want to just talk about this compulsory vaccination. That's just another word they're calling it now. Is really another word for mandatory vaccination. I'm getting this data from this website called Statista. Just like statistics, it's called Statista. FDA instead of statistics.
Statista.com. Okay, I'm going to read this article by Neil McCarthy. And this was taken back in July, almost a month and a half ago, July 16, 2021. Okay, it reads as follows. It's going to talk about this compulsory, because this compulsory vaccination, this mandatory, it's coming. They're coming our way. Yes, some of it is here in a smaller degree, like what they say, the healthcare workers, first line responders, things like that. But it's coming. We mean full compulsory. That means everybody. But let's just read this. It says, during a speech on July 12th, French President Emmanuel Macron announced the introduction of compulsory vaccination for healthcare workers in hospitals and a number of other establishments. The new measures have proved controversial and are expected to impact around 700,000 people. That's just in France alone. That's almost a million people. Mm. The step was taken as part of a new phase of France's plan to curb the pandemic. Well, they say pandemic. Amid the spread of the highly infectious Delta variant. Thus, France has joined a list. Man, this is the countries we want to point out these countries. France has joined a list of some 15 countries. It's probably more than that, but this is what they're listed. 15 countries that have decided to impose to some of compulsory vaccination on some level. It says, as our map shows, the obligation is only population-wide in three countries. That means it's just fully compulsory, they say, in three countries. I believe it's more than that, but in three countries so far. And the countries they listed is Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and the Vatican City. Okay, those are like supposedly the Middle Eastern, Mediterranean countries. It says elsewhere, obligatory vaccinations are in place for healthcare workers or certain professions requiring a high level of human contact in a number of countries, including the UK, Italy, and Greece. In Russia, last paragraph, for example, the vaccination of service sector employees is mandatory in some localities, such as Moscow and St. Petersburg, while in the United States, San Francisco recently announced it would require all 35,000 city employees to get the jab. Okay, so they say 15 countries have some form of compulsory vaccination. They got a map here. Countries where vaccination is mandatory. That's the header of this map. Countries that have, this is the subcategory, countries that have decided to impose obligatory vaccination against COVID-19. Okay, so the legion for the, you know, the key to read this map, they have color-coded some dark red. That means obligatory for all adults. Then they have like a tan color, obligatory for certain adults. And then the yellow color, obligatory for certain places. Okay, so out of... they call this the globe. You have the UK, the USA, France, Vatican, like they said, Vatican City, that's his own country state, Italy, Greece, Saudi Arabia, Russia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Pakistan, all these stands, and Fiji. Okay, so out of the three, it shows Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and what is that other red one? One more, and Vatican City. So that's strange, Vatican City, the head of all demonic religion. I just say all religion because no religion is of the Most High. All is of HaShaitan. So out of the HaShaitan's palace on earth, that place is mandatory vaccination, compulsory vaccination. Huh, that's interesting. So that's the mother church, the Roman church, and it has, it's a harlot, it's a whore, so it has lots of children. It has lots of daughters. Some of them are Baptists, told you, Church of God in Christ, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Methodist, African Methodist. I mean, just on and on. Seventh-day Adventists, you know, Jehovah Witness, all of them. And you know what? I saw a video this weekend, and this young lady from Jamaica, she was showing where a lot of the denominations in Jamaica, they were having some kind of conference, and they were all, these are the bishops, these are the, like, the head people over these denominations. One was like the Seventh-day Adventist. I think they had the Methodist. They had the Episcopal and some other denominations. And all of them in lockstep were endorsing the jab. They were endorsing this vaccine, all these so-called bishops, heads of state in the church world. And it's no surprise they're following their father, the mother of all harlots, they're following the Roman Catholic Church. And she has said vaccines should be compulsory, should be mandatory. Vatican City has stated that. They're in red. They're right now supposedly one of three countries that impose mandatory. So now you see why all of these churches have, these pastors and these bishops have jumped on board. I mean, they did it early, and they're still doing it, and saying all of, they endorse that all of their members, all of their denomination, all their parishioners should be vaccinated. And I heard them say, what they believe in. I heard them say this weekend, we believe in the science of vaccinating. We believe that God gave them the science. Well, they're right. God gave them the science. Their God. Their God. And who's their God? The God of this world. The God of this world gave them the science, HaShetan. So they're following their father, the devil, just like Yahushua told them in the book of John, the 8th chapter. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the will of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning. They're following their father, the devil. So it's no surprise. People saying, why is the church turning and endorsing this? Well, their father set up religion. Go back to Nimrod. Their father set up the religious system on this earth to try to get to the Most High another way beside the way that he ordained only. You know, it says, there is only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. We have to go through the Mashiach, Yahushua HaMashiach. But they always wanted another way, the Tower of Babel, Nimrod, and it's been going on ever since. The Egyptians got it from the Babylonians. The Greeks got it from the Egyptians. The Romans got it from the Greeks, and on and on and on. And they're still following this demonic system. So, of course, they're pastors who appear as ministers of light, Kashetan's ministers, bishops, Bishop Jakes, and Bishop this, and the women pastors too. I don't even know their names anymore. I've been so far removed, but some famous Joyce Myers and all them. All of them in lockstep, like good little servants of Satan. They're pushing their parishioners, pushing them right to the slaughterhouse. You know, right to the slaughterhouse. So we have to counter this demonic propaganda, you know. That's on their 24/7 brainwashing networks. We have to counter it. You know, the scripture says that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the truth. I know it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Most High. Well, it just basically means faith come by the truth, because the Most High's word is truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Okay, so truth is his word, and his word is truth. So the Bible actually is saying faith comes by hearing truth. Okay, so that's why we're exposing this. That's why we're countering their narrative, their demonic narrative, this demonic propaganda that's on their 24/7 brainwashing network. See, so if faith comes by hearing truth, hearing is the mechanism. If you have faith in the truth, you can also, the flip side of that, you can have faith in hearing a lie. So faith in hearing the truth is going to pull you to the Most High's way. Faith in hearing a lie is going to pull you to the demonic system, Babylon's way. So that's why they keep their message up. They keep their narrative going 24/7, 365. They keep it going all through the day, all through the night. And guess what? Faith is coming into the ears of the listener. Not faith to the Most High, but faith to HaShaitan, to his messengers. They're hearing that message, and they're having faith in it. That's why they say we have faith in the science. That's why you can hear from the most so-called intelligent person with the prestigious position, high up in government or in the academic world. He could say he believes the science. Then you could go all the way down to the lowest of low, some bumbling idiot who can't hardly articulate a phrase, a sentence. They'll even say, I believe the science. All of them, both small and great, they believe the science. They believe in HaShaitan's ways, HaShaitan's system. I believe what the devil is saying. That's what they say. And how do they get it? They have faith in it. They say, I believe the science. They basically say, I have faith in Satan's science, in his way, because they listen to it. It comes by hearing. And the children of the Most High, we get faith in his word by hearing truth. So we have to counter this. Because too many of our people have fallen prey to this demonic faith message. Yes, I said it. It's a demonic faith message. They're having faith in the messengers of HaShaitan. The devil is a liar, and he's the father of it. So next week, if y'all willing, we want to get more into this further division that's coming for the remnant. This further division. Because everybody is not going to be touched by this virus. Many of us. And
that's right.
I pray that you and I are included in our household, in our family. Many of us is never going to get touched by this thing. And it's going to be to a testimony, not for our strength, but to the Most High himself, to his esteem, to his praise, and to his power. And with that, Elder, I see the time is just about up. I'll turn it back over to you. I'll say shalom to our family tonight. Shalom, Israel.
All right. Shalom, Elder. I appreciate that good information that we need. Hallelujah. That's all I'm going to do. I just want to sum up one verse, I guess. And this is in Revelation 14, the ninth verse, I believe. Let me start about middle ways that verse. And a third messenger followed him, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark upon his forehead or upon his hand, he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahuwah, which is poured out undiluted with no mercy into the cup of his wrath. And he shall be tortured with fire and sulfur before the set apart messengers and before the Lamb. The strong stuff there. And the smoke of their torture goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, those worshiping the beast and his image. Also, if anyone receives the mark of his name. See, that's not good. There he is, the and endurance of the set apart ones. Here are those guarding the commands of Yahuwah and the belief of Yahushua. And I heard a voice out of the heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who died in the Master from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, the order that they rest in order that they rest from their labors and their works follow with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That sums it up. Revelation 14. That sums it up. You better, I suggest all of those pastors, all those Seventh-day Adventists, all of those people that done joined hands, got locked together and everything, and came to this one agreement. I suggest that they take another look at Revelation, because this is telling you what's going to happen to those who worship the beast and follow his image. Okay? That's just that simple. This is coming. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. You will be just lost. That's what's going to happen. You follow the beast, worship him, and receive that mark. You know, especially you're going to sit there and volunteer. Yeah, give it to me. That's it. You're dead soul. That's all I can say. So may Yah have mercy upon you. May Yah have mercy upon his people. Okay, hallelujah, hallelujah. With that, Elder, I guess we're going to call it a day. Okay?
Hallelujah.
And we'll go ahead and close it out with a prayer by OJs, okay? We'll let them close us out.
I just looked up and all of a sudden you was up there waiting, and I started at the end. We had to catch you, but maybe the next time we'll get you in time to bring you on to. But you can at least say hello, say shalom to us.
Hello, hello, brothers. Hello, hello. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Shalom, hello? Shalom. We hear you. We hear you, Brother Malachi.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, real quick, good evening to you, brothers. Hey, you know what? When you're walking in truth and power and you're talking about this real, you can talk all night long and never get tired, never weary, never bored. It just is so energizing. You know what I'm saying? So I just love it. Mm-hmm. And with that, thank you, Elder Yaliah and Elder Yalil. It's good to hear you, brothers. Thank you for the message tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom,
right.
My brother. And shalom,
all
family.
Right.
Shalom, Israel.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Okay.
Peace.
All right. Well, we will catch you next time. Hopefully we catch you on time. All right. Good night, Israel. All right.